Amen. Wonderful singing. Wonderful singing. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to go to higher heights than we even realize. So many Christians today that spend their entire Christian life in the wilderness when he wants to take us to the promised land, to higher plains, to places where only he gets the glory. So tonight, if you've got a copy of God's Word with you, we will be in Genesis chapter 13. And I'm only going to read, starting out, verse number 12. Brother Chris looked at the PowerPoint earlier, and he saw that I only had one verse. And then he told Kelsey, he said, "Did you bring your blanket and pillow?" And she said, "Why?" He said, "Pastor Tyler's only got one verse tonight, and he knows I'm dangerous if I'm only dealing with one verse. Good thing for you is I'm dealing with more than one verse." It's usually when I only use one, I dig really deep into that one. But tonight we're going to be dealing with a subject. I actually dealt with this probably a year or more ago in ISI, but I love this thought. I believe it will challenge us as children of God, and I hope we will learn from the mistakes that Lot made. That the Bible says the things that are written for our learning. May God help us to learn from this so that we don't lose what Lot lost. Lot lost a lot of stuff. Yes, Lot's in heaven. The Bible says so. He was a righteous man. But we're going to see he lost everything. He lost his wife. He lost his children spiritually. He lost his testimony. We're going to talk more about that later. But he lost a whole lot because he pitched his tent towards Sodom. So if you found your place in Genesis 13, I'm going to read verse number 12. Please stand in reverence to God's holy word. I'm only going to read one verse, and then we'll get right into the message. And I would like to think this is going to be a short one. Notice I didn't say it will be. I don't want to lie to you. But we'll see. We'll see where the Lord leads. So Genesis chapter 13, verse number 12. The Bible says, "Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom." Brother Steve, would you open us in a word of prayer? Seated. So as we look at this text before us tonight, I want us to know going in that I want to remind us that the decisions we make as parents, grandparents, adults, I want to remind us that it affects more than us, okay? Because Lot here in just a moment makes a decision. There may be many reasons why he made that decision, but that decision affected way more than just him. And we need to be sure when we're making decisions as children of God that we're making them for the right reasons, that we're making them having spoken to our Lord, because if we don't, they could lead us down a very dark path. So as we think about tonight, very quickly, the danger of pitching your tent near Sodom, the first thing I want to point out in our text is the choice of Lot. The choice of Lot. In Genesis 13, beginning in verse number 5, the Bible says, "And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelleth then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left." Now some may say that this Abraham is leaving it up to chance. I beg to differ. I believe Abraham is trusting God here. Now he's Abram here. He hasn't put any ham in it yet. I had a Bible college professor whose name was Scott Moneyham. He said when he got right with God, he put a little ham in it, is what he said. We're not there yet in our text. He's not Abraham. He's currently Abram. But we know that Abraham He made some bad decisions and he did some things wrong, but for the most part, he was a great man, a godly man, and he trusted God. He believed God. And I believe that's what he's doing there in verse number 9. I don't believe he's leaving it up to chance. I believe he's leaving it up to God because God has got him this far. He believes God's going to get him further. But we see next, we see Lot. We see the opposite of that. We see Abram is trusting God, but then we see in verse number 10 how Lot decided. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So we see here Lot looks at this land. And notice there's no consulting of the Lord. All he is looking at is the benefit for him. So we see here in the choice of Lot, we see he had the wrong focus. He had the wrong focus. Lot's only focus when deciding what land to choose was how it would benefit him physically and monetarily. He did not consider the effect choosing this land near Sodom would have on himself and his family. And we as parents and adults need to be sure that when we are making a decision that we're considering how it could affect not only us, but those around us, our children, our family, our friends. Lot didn't do that. Lot got tunnel vision and saw the value of it for him, and that's how he made the decision. And I want to stop there and point out and make us think about just because a job offer or something may be very appealing to your flesh doesn't mean it's the will of God. And I've actually heard a preacher say, and I've actually lived it multiple times, but a lot of times right before God's best, the devil will make you an offer that's very appealing. I've lived it. I've heard preachers preach on it, and then shortly after they preached on it, I lived it twice. And coming to Mountain City Baptist Church, the Lord, that was one area where that happened to me. An opportunity was presented to me well before I ever came here, and I praise God the Lord didn't lead in that direction. But we need to be sure, just because an offer looks good doesn't mean it's the will of God. Doesn't mean that's what God wants you to do. You may make more money. Yes, it may look more appealing physically, but spiritually, how's it going to do? What's it going to do for you? A lot of people, when they look at jobs, they see the money. They see the benefits. But a lot of jobs nowadays, the big thing is you got to work weird hours and it may keep you out of church. And that's something you got to consider. See, if we're not careful in our flesh, I got people in my family that they're the world's worst for this. All they see in every situation is whatever they're looking at going absolutely perfect. They don't see any of the negatives. They don't see any of the bad. They don't think about anything about except what's appealing. But when we make a decision, we need to be sure to seek the will of God and make sure that's what he wants and make sure that it's going to have a positive impact on us and our family spiritually. It would be better for us to make less money and our family be nurtured spiritually than to make more and to lose our family like Lot does. We got to be careful to have the right focus when we're making decisions. Lot did not. Lot didn't have the right focus. He was focused on me, myself, and I and didn't think about his family. But not only did he have the wrong focus, he did not speak to the Father. Notice there's no prayer there. There's no Abraham trusted God, but Lot didn't pray. Lot didn't consult God. And to be honest with you, if we're honest with ourselves and be honest with you, there's a lot of decisions that I regrettably can say that I didn't consult God on. And if I bet a lot of us can say the same thing. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Because he knows when we don't consult the Lord, we're very apt to make the wrong decision. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him." That means in all your ways, talk to God about it. Keep an open line of communication where you're in connection with him to make sure that what you're doing is his will. And I've learned here lately, a lot of times if God wants you to do it, if it's in line with his will, he'll give you scripture from his word. So that when you make that decision, you're standing on the rock of His Word, and no matter what comes your way, you're standing on the Word of God. I praise the Lord when the Lord brought me to Mount City Baptist, He gave me Scripture to stand on. And in regards to our building project, the Lord gave me Scripture to stand on. And that way, no matter what comes, because nothing's ever going to be perfect, there's going to be hard times, but we can stand firm because we're standing on the Word. We need, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. It doesn't say He's going to direct you to what you want. He said it says He's going to direct your path. And where He directs is where you need to be. Where He directs, if we knew what He knows, we would want to be where He wants us to be. But we've got to seek His will. We've got to let Him direct our steps. It may not be, but we've got to remember, when we got saved, we signed our rights away. It's not like we get saved and God, okay, God, you're my spare tire. I'll call out to you when I need you, but I'm good for now. No. When we get saved, we become slaves of Christ. And our will becomes His. And too many times Christians today, they try to do their own thing. And that don't work in a child, in the life of a child of God. So he had the wrong focus. He did not speak to the Father. We need to, in all our ways, acknowledge Him, speak to Him. He wants us to. In the big decisions, in the small decisions, seek the will of God. If you seek the will of God, even in the small stuff, you'll train yourself so that when the big stuff does come, we'll train ourselves like Hezekiah did most of the time and immediately turn to God. And that's what we need to do so that we'll avoid making terrible mistakes that are detrimental to our family. So we see the choice of Lot, number one, but we see number two, the compromise of Lot. Look at verse number 12. We read it earlier. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. He didn't live in Sodom. He just had tents near Sodom when he was working in the area. So he had tents near it. He was spending time near Sodom. And we're going to see that means a lot. We're going to see the direction his life went because of that. We need to understand, we need to be careful. I guess you could say, who we spend time around, where we spend time, what we spend our time listening to or watching or thinking about. If you may think, well, I can withstand it. It doesn't cause me to sin. It doesn't cause temptation to me. Okay, great. If that's true, great for you. But can you say the same about everybody around you? Can you say the same? It's not gonna tempt this person, that person. I guess you could think. I've heard a lot of people say, Christians say, well, I can control myself when it comes to drinking. I should have a drink here and have a drink there, and I can control myself. Say that's true. And I'm not condoning drinking in any way, but I'm just saying, say that's true. How does that look to other brothers and sisters in Christ that maybe struggled with that? That maybe had an addiction to alcohol. Maybe they got saved out of alcoholism. Say you can control yourself, but you doing that is going to affect them and may cause them to fall into a dark, back into their past if we're not careful. That's just an example. We need to be careful where we're at, who we're with, what we're listening to, what we're doing, what we're seeing. And the devil is very good and nowadays on social media and on TV and with the music and the podcast and everything we have access to listen to. We have very wide access to many wicked things. Many things that they don't seem bad. They're not terrible, but they've got bad things in there. Most TV shows of the day, even the good ones, they only say a cuss word here or there. They only have a couple homosexuals. That there's only a few scenes where people that they're committing fornication or adultery. It doesn't show anything. I mean, that's how we try to justify that stuff. But what we're doing when we do stuff like that is we're pitching our tent towards Sodom. We're not in it, but we're near it. And we're going to see the more time you spend near it, the closer you're going to get to being in it. And we need to be careful. We need to be very focused. And we need to consistently speak to the Father, or we're going to be in the same spot Lot was in. He was pitching his tent towards Sodom. He was just working near there. But because he spent time near there too long, he ended up in there. And we're going to see that. So we see the choice of Lot. We see the compromise of Lot. Then we see number three, the conformity of Lot. Go with me to chapter 19, verse number 1. So we saw the decision Lot made. We saw how he made it. We saw that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Now we see in chapter 19, verse 1, he's made a change of residence. Look what the Bible says. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Lot sat in the gate. Earlier, he was just near there, but now he's in there. And if we're not careful, even as children of God, if we don't guard who we're with, where we go, what we hear, what we see, what we do, if we're not careful over time, we're going to end up there. And all the adults, most of the adults in the room, if not all the adults in the room, are probably saved, but we've got babies and we've got children and we've got family that may not be. Yes, if you're saved by the grace of God, you're on your way to heaven. But if you're not careful and you get put yourself in this situation as Lot did, yes, you'll go to heaven, but you'll leave your family behind. How scary would that be? Yeah, you made it. And probably made it, as the Bible says, as so by fire. But your family, your friends, your babies go to hell because you pitched your tent near Sodom and then you ended up in Sodom. So we see the conformity of Lot. He pitched his tent near it, then he was in it. Then we see number four, the catastrophe that resulted. Let's just read chapter 19 together. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early, and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot, and said unto him, Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And without going into any detail, they didn't want to have a conversation with him. And Lot went out at the door unto them, and shut the door after him, and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, I have two daughters. Look at this. Two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they were wearied themselves to find the door. Now, before we move on, I would point out, notice there's only two angels. Earlier, there was three with Abraham. I believe the third man was Christ. But Jesus will not go where sin is. Only the angels went in because of all the sin that was in Sodom. And his child was in Sodom. How sad. And verse number 12, and the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And we see in verse 14, the first catastrophe that resulted. First, he lost his credibility. What I mean by that is his testimony. Lot is a righteous man. But because this righteous man spent time near Sodom, then he is now living in Sodom. Now he's in trouble. Judgment's coming. He's got to get his family out before they are destroyed with the city. And he goes to his family here. In verse number 14, look what it says. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. He decided now to act godly and to warn people. But now it's too late. He no longer had his testimony. And as children of God, if we don't have our testimony, what do we have? We can't share the gospel if we don't have our testimony. How sad would that be? Lot couldn't go witness to somebody if he were in our world today, because they would look at him and say, if you're saved, the woods are full of them. He was not a good example. He had not lived a godly life before his family. He himself was righteous. He himself, the Bible says, is in heaven. But because of the way he lived, his family is not, as far as we know. So we see here as it continues on, and when the morning arose, then the angels hasted Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. What great mercy. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. He said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow the city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Man, what mercy of God that is. We would all admit, we would all not be surprised if the Lord destroyed Lot with all of the people of Sodom. But Lot was his child. This shows the great mercy and long-suffering of God. And this should encourage us. Now, I'm not saying every person that's made a profession is saved, but this should let us know that there are people who have made professions who may have strayed that still could be children of God. And we need to pray. My prayer for people like that who say they are, but it doesn't look like they are, is, Lord, if they are saved, draw them to you in repentance. And if they're not, show them they're not. But we see that Lot is something that shows us that it is possible for a believer to go a long way. And when God demonstrated great mercy upon him. But we also need to remember as well, we talked about in 1 John, there is a sin unto death, okay? And that means there is a point where, I don't know. There is a point that a child of God drags the Lord's name through the mud long enough that he'll take him out of here. Now, where is that? I don't know. Have I seen it? I think so. But I don't know. I said that, because I don't want maybe somebody watching like, okay, I'm good. I made a profession, I can live how I want. That's not how it works. A true child of God, and we're going to see Lot did not enjoy Sodom. Lot was miserable in Sodom. You know, I know that because a child of God cannot live in sin and enjoy it. Maybe at first, but they'll be miserable. We'll look more about that in a moment as we continue on. Verse number 24. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. And then we see the next thing that Lot lost. He lost his companion. But his wife, the Lord told him not to look back, but his wife looked back from behind him and she became a pillar of salt. In that, we need to take a picture of the dangers of looking back to where we used to be at our sin. Let's not look back and go back to where we were, what we used to do. That's dangerous for a child of God. We see here, she looked back, she became a pillar of salt. So he lost his testimony. He lost his wife. And then we'll continue on, and we see one of the saddest of all. Verse 27, Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. It came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. Then we see, finally, Lot lost his children. Not physically, but I believe he lost them spiritually. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, Our father is old, and there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. And it came to pass on the morning, or on the morrow, that the firstborn said unto the younger, Behold, I lay yesternight with my father. Let us make him drink wine in this night also, and go thou in and lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. And they made their father drink wine that night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. And the firstborn bare a son and called his name Moab. The same is the father of the Moabites unto this day. Moab is believed to be that it's God's washpot. It's a wicked group of people. We see sin doesn't breed righteousness. Okay? Sin breeds more sin. That's a picture of that. That's why it's important we be very careful. And we strive not to be near Sodom. Verse 38, And the younger she also bare a son, and called his name Ben-Ammi. The same is the father of the children of Ammon unto this day. How sad of a story we had before us. Yeah, Lot's in heaven. But it doesn't look like his family is. How sad is that? All started from a wrong decision, from pitching his tent towards Sodom. Then he lived in Sodom. And because of that, he lost all of that. How sad that is. The Bible says, in conclusion, the Bible says in 2 Peter 2, 6 through 8, And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. See, if we didn't have that in the Bible, we would not think Lot was a righteous man. But the Bible declares in the New Testament, he was a just man. Just Lot, vexed, that means oppressed, with the filthy conversation, that means conduct. So oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. Yes, Lot was in Sodom, but each day, spiritually, it was oppressing him. It was pushing upon him. Lot had to be miserable. And every believer in the room knows, if we allow sin in our life and we don't deal with it and it goes further, it doesn't get more enjoyable. It gets more miserable. And the longer we live in it, the more it's going to affect those around us. Yes, if we're saved, we're on our way to heaven, but is our family? I want to lead my children to Christ. I don't want to be a stumbling block for them getting to Christ. We've got to be sure that we are doing what God wants us to do. We're where God wants us to be. We're watching what God wants us to watch. We're listening to what God wants us to listen to. We're creating an atmosphere of righteousness, an atmosphere of holiness, an atmosphere that makes those around us want to be more like Christ and not be more like the world. But Lot, it vexed or oppressed with the filthy conduct of the wicked. Then it goes on, verse number 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed or tormented his righteous soul from day to day with their wicked or their unlawful, which means wicked, deeds. So Lot was tormented in Sodom. Maybe he enjoyed it for a little while. The Bible says there's pleasure in sin for a season, but a child of God cannot live in sin and enjoy it for very long. We see tonight the danger of pitching our tent towards Sodom. Let's be sure when we're making decisions that we consult the Lord, that we consult His Word, that we have the right focus in mind. And if we'll keep our eyes on Christ and keep our eyes in the Word and keep a constant line of communication, He will direct our steps. And as we are in His will, we'll have our family where He wants them, in an atmosphere where they can come to know the Lord or come to become more like the Lord. Or we can do what we want and, yeah, we're on our way to heaven, but we'll lead our family straight to hell. Sadly, I believe I've got people very close to me in this world who, mom and dad, I believe, well, they profess to know the Lord, but I don't know if their family, their children do. And they don't make church a priority. They don't make the things of God a priority. They make themselves a priority. They do what they want, what they want to do when they want to do it. And the Lord is, He gets the sloppy seconds. They come to, they go to church if they don't have anything else better to do. How sad is that going to be one day? To them stand before God, them be in heaven, but then watch the Lord say to their babies, "Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. I never knew you." How sad would that be? And then their babies cry out to them and say, "Why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you point me to Jesus? Why didn't you point me to the way of salvation? Why didn't you create an atmosphere that would make it easy for me to get to Him?" Instead of placing stumbling blocks before us. See, what mom and dad prioritize, the children will too. You prioritize God, they will. You know how I know that? My mom and dad did. In my entire life, there was never a question in my mind what we were doing on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's not a testament to me. That's a testament to my parents. And they ingrained that in me. And then by God's grace, because they had me in the house of God, I got saved at a young age. I believe that's a testament to that. Now, are my mom and dad perfect? Absolutely not. None of us are. But we need to make sure the Lord is our focus and our priority in everything. I mean, how amazing would it be before we turn the TV on? Lord, should I watch this? That one hurts. Lord, is this going to point my babies to you? Lord, is me listening to this going to create an atmosphere of holiness? Or is this going to... Okay, music's a powerful thing. You listen to godly music, it changes the atmosphere of the place. You listen to worldly music, you plug in whatever you think that is, worldly music, it changes the atmosphere of a place. Everything we do has consequences. Let's be sure that what we're doing honors our Lord, points our families toward Him, so that it will be easy for our families to know and grow in the Lord. Because it's very dangerous pitching our tent towards Sodom. That's what I wanted us to see tonight. This isn't a fun one. This isn't a, yeah. This is just a warning. We're susceptible to the same thing. We're living in a world that's just as wicked as Sodom was. We really are. Sadly, our world and Sodom are becoming more and more alike every day. But we can do it. It's not impossible to live for God, to do it right, to be in the right place, to listen to the right thing, to watch the right thing. I keep going back to the watching because if you're like me, we spend a lot of time watching and looking at things. And if we're going to keep our minds and our lives on the right track, we've got to make a conscious effort to make sure what we're looking at honors God. Does it make us think of Christ and want to be more like Him, or does it make us less like Him and make us want to sin? That may take us changing. So maybe someone here tonight or someone watching online has pitched their tent towards Sodom. Maybe the Lord's pointed out something in your life that doesn't need to be there. It's not something that's hurting you now, but you stay near Sodom long enough, it'll hurt you later. There are alternatives. Heaven forbid we watch less TV or we change what we watch. There are alternatives to watch. There are alternatives to listen to. Remember, when God takes something out, it's not, I just don't want you to have no fun. Christians can't have fun. No fun for you, no. When God takes something out, He replaces it with something better. Well, if God's got a finger on something right now in your life that you need to remove, it's because He has something better that He wants to replace it with. Unless it's something that did not need to be there in the first place, then it needs to be out. It's a very serious thing to pitch your tent towards Sodom, to pitch your tent towards sin, whatever that may be. May God help us. And you may say, well, Lord, what do you want me to watch? Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. What's it say? It says, think on these things. And it has a big, long list. Imagine if we took everything we watched or listened to or looked at. That was the gauge. Would we watch anything at all? Maybe not in the world today. But that's the way that we're going to have that peace that the Lord talked about. The peace that surpasses all understanding. That's the way we won't worry. May God help us. We can do it by His grace. He wants us to be at higher ground. We've got to trust and obey. That's why I picked those songs. Got to trust and obey. And He'll take us to heights we've never known. Heights where we won't even have desire to watch those things anymore, to listen to those things. We won't even want to look at Sodom because we know how dangerous it is. But you got to draw nearer to the Lord. May the Lord help us. As Miss Mary comes to the altar. Miss Mary comes to the piano this evening, the altar is open. Maybe you just want to come tonight and pray, say, Lord, help me to not pinch my tent sword.